I have a question. It's a question you have heard several times already, and you will continue to hear. But why is it that we face huge challenges and trials before Passover? But not just before, but also after Passover. And not just here and there, but continuously. We continuously go through trials. And why do we become discouraged and frustrated in ourselves or toward one another, which could affect our attitudes and our thinking? Well, the answer should be quite simple. One I will focus on, it's because Satan wants us to fail. He does not want us to make it, and he will try anything he can in his power to try and make us fail. But remember, he can only do anything in his power to make us fail. See, God is allowing Satan to do what he wants to do to a certain point. And then the rest would be up to us. God also knows that nothing is impossible, and he also knows that we can overcome Satan. So whatever trial that we're going through, as serious as it may be, it's definitely a trial that we can overcome with God's help. But we are the ones who have to make the right choice, and we have to be careful in how we act. Because we have to have the right attitude. So with that segue, that leads on to what I'm going to be talking about. We will be blessed, but with action. So I didn't quite have a title, so that sounds pretty good. How about blessed with action? So what I want to talk about is found in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 3. And this is familiar because we have heard about this in previous messages before. He's talking about the Beatitudes. And so what I want to do is go over this, but I want you to put yourself personally in relation to each of these Beatitudes that we're going to go over. Remember that it is ourself and only ourself that we have to examine, 1 Corinthians 11:28. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. You need to worry about what you are doing. I need to worry about what I am doing. Because when that time comes, you and only you will have to give account for your own actions. So let's start in chapter 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is a very humble attitude, and we have to be humble. We don't want to be going around thinking that we know everything, even though sometimes we may think that. But how many of us have grown up in the church, and yet we still find something new when we study the Bible? Something that we haven't really thought of before. A different perspective. And there are different perspectives in a lot of the verses that we read throughout the Bible. We don't know anything compared to God. So when we are in trouble and we need help, it is God who we go to for help. That's something that we can't do on our own. We shouldn't be quick to act, but we need to be careful with prayer and studying. Shouldn't be quick to act. I mean, that's so easy to say, but it is very difficult to do. So what happens if we're confronted by somebody, and we don't know the answer right away? Are we going to quickly give an answer to the first thing that comes to our mind? You probably will, but that's not what I advise. But have you ever thought about a quick prayer, 1 or 2 seconds at that moment, for some help, and how you can answer the question? Not only that, quickly answer, I'm not sure about that, I'll get back to you, let's say, because we know that the answers are in the Bible. Depending on what the question is, of course. Now, Moses is mentioned in the Bible as the most humble person. But there were still times when he didn't do things that God wanted him to do. And because of that reason, he wasn't able to enter the promised land. Moses took credit for himself rather than God when he struck the rock in the wilderness and water came out. And we read about that in Numbers 20 and verse 12. So even the greats of the Bible went through things like that. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, when we are in extremely difficult and tough situations, we cry, don't we? It is painful, no matter what the situation may be. Yes, we all make mistakes, and we all sin. And when that happens, we must repent and ask for forgiveness. See, God is very merciful, and he will be, and he's very merciful to us, but he will also forgive us when we ask for it and when we truly feel that way. God is the one who confronts us, and whenever we have a problem, we also go to God for help. You know, because of his mercy, we are able to be saved, let's say. Because of situations that we go through, we know that we can go to him for help. What man can do that? Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This ties in very well with verse 3 because it is another humble attitude. And an adjective for meek would be quiet, gentle, and submissive. We submit to God's word. It's very easy to complain when somebody tells you to do something that you don't want to do, but you yourself know that you should do it. Now, what if that certain individual or being was God? Would you complain if he told you to do something? Not just something, but the same thing that the other individual just told you to do? So you find the answers in the Bible, and that is what God is telling you to do. Even some of the most faithful in the Bible questioned God when God told them to do something. Put yourself in that situation on some of these examples. One example found in Exodus when God confronted Moses at the burning bush. What was Moses' initial response? God gave Moses a specific command in Exodus 3, verses 10 through 12. God even told Moses what would happen and how he would intervene in verses 19 through 21. Yet, still, Moses had doubts. Have you ever had a confrontation like that with God? I don't think so. But Moses did, and still, he had doubts. And then chapter 4, verse 1, as we all know, God showed him signs to give him more encouragement. We see that in verses 10 through 17. And finally, after all of that, Moses and Aaron went to Egypt and freed the people. And even after all the signs, the people of Israel had a lack of faith when things didn't go their way. But God always intervened. There is that mercy that God has and he had for the people. He could have easily tossed them aside. But there was a bigger purpose in mind. At the same time, we should not test God either, because there may be times when God does not answer. We may not know right away, but in time, we will know why God didn't answer. And that could be a frustrating journey along the way. Believe me, I've been there, probably still going through it. But we know what God has in mind before we do. He has a plan, so we have to respect that. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You want to be blessed? You want to have your prayers answered? Before we got baptized and afterwards, we hungered for the truth. And even though we have not understood everything yet, we still receive God's power at baptism through his Holy Spirit. We hungered for righteousness, and we were filled. Luke 1, verse 53. We still hunger and thirst for righteousness, and yet we are still being filled. When we go through trials, when we ask God for help, how is He helping us? Well, He is using His Holy Spirit in us to make us stronger. That's what we're asking for. That is how we're being filled, for one example. But this is also where faith comes in, because we have to have the faith that God will give us the understanding when we ask for it. There is the action that we need to go through. Don't take it for granted. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We, as God is with us, have to be merciful towards one another. Yes, we are not perfect, and we still sin. We will continue to sin. But recognizing what we are doing is what is important, because then action is followed by that. Ephesians chapter 2, if you please turn there. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. We read, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved, because we accepted His sacrifice. And again, it was through grace that we were saved. God's mercy in us. It still requires action. We haven't been saved to the fullest extent, but that is what we're all hoping for, right? Now, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We have to do what is right in our heart. However we act, whatever we do, or whatever we say should come from the heart. We know it's good and pure when we please God and act as He wants us to act. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now, no matter how hard or how difficult it may be sometimes, but we are supposed to love our enemies. Now, enemies alone can be a little confusing when it comes to that definition. We're not talking about enemies that are out there to kill us. The simplest things could be considered an enemy in our minds. Let's look at, since we are in Matthew 5, look at verse 43 through 45. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So even people that use us, friends of ours or whatever, that, you know, people that we have been encountered by, persecute you, we're going through persecution because of what we believe. You know, there's people out there who don't believe what we believe. And so they may consider us as their enemies, or vice versa. But this is where mercy also comes in, because we are supposed to be peacemakers. Because we wouldn't need to fight war, for example, or fight in general. That, of course, is strictly forbidden. Just always remember who it is that fights our battles, and only God we can rely on. So being a peacemaker is a task all on its own. It's not very easy to do that. But with God's help, it is not impossible. And you never know what friendliness and peace will bring about for the other person or the other people we are confronted with. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, I'm sure we have been through this a few times in our lives. We have been persecuted. And this is where we shine. And this is where we have to be strong and stand up for what is right. You know, nothing is going to be easy in the time ahead of us. Times will get worse. And we may think that we are alone, but we know that that is not true. Our reward will be great, greater than we can ever imagine. And so everything that I have gone over today is the attitude that we should have towards one another and even within ourselves. We are examples to the whole world, and the whole world will come to realize it eventually. Verse 14 of chapter 5, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." And verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven."